I'm here in my living room in London, talking to Charles Dickens himself. Hello, Mr. Dickens, and may I say what an honor it is to meet you.
Could I borrow a cigarette, please?
Oh, of course. Here you go.
Top. Well, I suppose you expect me to talk about Christmas and how wonderful it is, and it's such a, a bloody... I'm terribly sorry. I seem to have coughed up a bit of my lung.
Welcome. Thanks for subscribing, or for streaming, or for downloading and listening on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 107, Charles Dickens Unplugged. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas here in the U.S., and probably around the world, I suppose, and including many of your Muslim countries. I mean, Christmas isn't just for Christians anymore. But anyway, Christmas in the U.S. means, for us, Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol, as much as we might not want it to. We don't have the panto tradition that they have in the U.K. here in the U.S., and many theaters do try to program other holiday shows, including sometimes a little holiday classic called The Bible, The Complete Word of God Abridged. But it always seems like they come back round to Charles Dickens, which is fair enough, I suppose, since after William Shakespeare, Charles Dickens is the greatest American writer. So in this week before Christmas 2008, we bring you Reduced Shakespeare Company moments with Charles Dickens. First, we start with RSE founding member Adam Long, who in the years since leaving the RSE has done a number of things, including writing a musical about Charles Dickens. You've gone from being a Reduced Shakespeare Company comedian, thespian, if I can use that term, to...
He's a guy.
Yes, but he's still a thespian. Doesn't matter. But now you're an English composer.
Yeah, I started writing music, man. It was I did Star Wars Shortened.
Yes.
And we did Attack of the Clones as a hardcore funk song.
And I won't make you sing much of it.
No, I wouldn't be able to anyway, because I'd have to shout and we're in a restaurant. But actually, Attack of the Clones works better as a hardcore funk song than it worked as a film. And then that inspired me. Then, and actually, one thing, we had to sign a contract with Lucasfilm that gave Lucasfilm the rights to this in any medium ever to be invented anywhere in the universe. That was the actual language in the contract, was anywhere in the universe. So it made us kind of wonder if Lucasfilm knows something that we don't know.
And did he come to you? Did George Lucas, you know, come to you, send a little hologram saying, Adam Long, I need you. Adam Long, I need you.
Yeah. I was just eating some hot soup one day, and I opened up my flask, and this little hologram came out of Princess Leia, but then she pulled off a mask like on Scooby-Doo, and it was George Lucas underneath, and he asked me if I'd do a condensed version of Star Wars, and then, like in Mission Impossible, he said, this flask will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
And what was your laundry bill?
It was enormous. And so we did that. And then after that, we did the condensed history of Tony Blair, which I believe
that's
heard,
right.
Austin. And we just did a load of music in that, and it was very inspiring. And it's gosh darn it. And then we saw some inspiring musicals as well, like Avenue Q. I would say Avenue Q was a huge inspiration.
And all of that led to your recent hit-ish, Dickens Unplugged.
Oh, yes, Dickens Unplugged.
Which, by all accounts, from many of the critics and almost everybody I know who actually saw it loved it.
Oh yeah, it's one of the greatest shows ever written, with the exception of the other Reduced Shakespeare Company shows, of course.
You said you had set out to do something similar but different to the Reduced Shakespeare. Yeah. You just didn't want to do the same RSE nonsense again.
Well, there's no point in doing it because you guys have mastered that anyway. So we wanted to do something that told the story of the life of Charles Dickens in music, but of course people are going to want to see his fiction as well. But luckily with Charles Dickens, what was happening in his life wove very neatly in and out of the fiction that he was writing. And also, Dickens' life was much more colorful than anything that he wrote with his fiction. He used to lock himself into a room with a countessa. Her husband had to sit in the other room, and he was trying to cure her of her maladies using animal magnetism. And of course, Dickens' wife and everybody else was a bit put off by all this, and they said, Charles, you should stop using your animal magnetism on the Countess.
That sounds like a game we used to play at parties.
Let me use it. I know it's a line I used. May I use my animal magnetism on you?
Hey, baby, let me use my animal magnetism. Yeah.
See my animal.
No, he was a nutcase, and he would walk for miles through the rain sobbing like a lunatic because he had to kill off a character in one of his books, and he just couldn't bear to see her die, but he knew it had to happen, and he had a row with his wife one night, and in the middle of a snowstorm walked from London to Rochester, which is about 200 miles.
And across the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, it's in New York.
Well, the conceit of it was that we were all from Santa Cruz, California, because back when I lived in Santa Cruz, as you guys know, there's the Dickens Christmas Fair there. So I was living in the canyon with all of these hippies and bikers, and, you know, Neil Young lived up the road from us, and it was all very summer of lovey. But then around Christmas time, everybody would get dressed up in their Dickensian costumes and recreate Dickens' Londons up at the pier in San Francisco. So that was sort of basically the idea. We were a band called Dickens Unplugged, and we were the biggest Charles Dickens tribute band in Santa Cruz. And we'd come over to London to teach people how we celebrate Dickens in America.
As if every school child walks around America singing songs about Dickens.
Exactly. Well, if they don't, they should.
Yeah, right.
And once everybody's seen our show, everybody will be walking around singing Dickens tunes. And no, we had a lot of great tunes. There's one of my favorites is that we have Sidney Carton going to get his head chopped off in the guillotine, and his severed head sings the last part of the song.
Oh, so. That's great. That's great. Now, would you ever try to tour this to the States?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll tour it everywhere. In fact, if anybody out there in podcast land wants us to come over to their wedding bar mitzvah or children's party, you can have Dickens Unplugged in your own home.
Ladies and gentlemen, join us now as we relive the classic tale of a young girl's journey through the bizarre labyrinth of the human psyche. Dickens Unplugged is proud to present the Old Curiosity Shop.
Little Nell and her grandfather were bothered by a dwarf. First they headed west, and then they headed north. They wound up in a churchyard, their feet were sore and red. Grandfather was crazy, and little Nell was dead. Thank you.
This is Kirsten Brandt, Associate Artistic Director at San Jose Repertory Theater, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
And now, it's time for RSEQ and A.
I have to apologize. We've been a little negligent with the RSEQ and A these last several many, many weeks, and that's one of our New Year's resolutions, to provide more weekly feedback to your questions. So I'm going to get through several of them this week if I can. In the last couple of weeks, we've gotten a lot of emails asking where people can buy the various scripts to our various shows, and also how they go about licensing the scripts to our shows to perform at your school or theater or wherever you are. We always answer these questions, and we're happy to answer them. And I suspect the people who are asking the questions don't listen to the podcasts, because they would probably know to figure out that we have what's called, in the interweb biz, a frequently asked questions page, what they call an FAQ page. And you can find that on the contact menu of our website, reducedshakespeare.com. And in there, we answer these exact questions. How can you license the scripts? Where you can perform the scripts. You can also go to the contact page of our website, and that has all the information on who to contact in whatever country you're in for whichever script you want to perform. So go to the contact page of our website or the frequently asked questions FAQ page of our website to get the answers to those general kinds of questions that we probably get a lot. But here's a few questions that have been posted on our chat page, our forum page of reducedshakespeare.com. This first one is from Angel of Music, from Murray, Utah. I don't know his or her real name, but Angel of Music writes, "Hey, Austin, I just had a quick question. Why don't you guys mention the narrative poems of Shakespeare in the Complete Works for William Shakespeare Abridged? Just a little thing that's been in the back of my mind for a while now." Well, Angel of Music is referring to The Phoenix and the Turtle, Venus and Adonis, The Passionate Pilgrim, and The Rape of Lucrece. Well, actually, we always used to mention them, although not by name. It always said in the program, it always had a list of the complete works of William Shakespeare in the program, including the line, "Poems We Don't Do." And that's our reference to the narrative poems. But actually, in the new revised edition of the Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged, the authors have included now a moment where we mention those four narrative poems, The Rape of Lucrece, Venus and Adonis, The Passionate Pilgrim, and The Phoenix and the Turtle. So we always did mention them, but we just never mentioned them by name. So that answers that question. Katie Ilk, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, Katie Ilk, K-T-L-K-H, who's a UK fan, writes, "Just seen your show in the UK, and as I'm sure you've guessed by other overexcited posts around the forums, it has prompted the question, do you have a singing audition in your auditioning process, or is it by complete coincidence that everyone can sing in tune and reasonably well?" Well, no, it's not a coincidence. We're very, very lucky, actually. And we do have a singing component to all of our auditions process. It's not very strict. It's not strict where people sort of bring in, you know, 8 bars of music and we have an accompanist. It's usually, can you sing on tune and on pitch well enough? And then we sort of begin to mix and match voices. So that's how that works. Brian Bernardini says he has 2 questions about the podcast itself. The first one is, why does Matt Croak get a special credit every week? I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, you understand, but inquiring minds and all that. All right, answering that first question, Matt Croak gets a special credit because he's special. That's it. And there was speculation as to why on the forum page, and you're all right. Matt was the person who actually jump-started us and kicked our butts in order to start making the podcast on a weekly basis. And all from just on a technical aspect, he is actually the one who helps upload the podcast every single week and helps compress it and format it into all the different formats. So that's why he gets the various credits that he gets every week. And it does change every week. Brian's second question is, do you keep track of the different fractions you use every week so you don't repeat them? Well, no, actually, I don't. I used to try, but it just, and I knew I was repeating some every week. And actually, recently, as I'm sure some of you have noticed, the fraction is really just that week's podcast number times 3. And LeShu, I don't know her real name, writes, I'm graduating from college with my BFA theater in May. What advice do you have for an aspiring actor who plans on moving to Chicago on how to get started? Wow, that is in itself an entire podcast. And I think some of that has been answered. I know specifically you can look for the podcast entitled Meet Dominic Conti, or Meet Dom Conti, I think is what it's called. Anyway, listen to that podcast if you haven't already, and there's a lot of talk about Chicago theater specifically. I know we've referenced theater careers generally in the past, and I think our answer is always the same. The only advice we have about going into the theater is don't, unless you can't possibly stand to do anything else.
Where can you see the RSC? This week, the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged, Revised continues at the Arched Center for the Performing Arts in Miami, Florida. We got a fantastic review from Christine Dolan at the Miami Herald, who called us the hardest working men in Shakespearean showbiz. And tickets for our 91-city UK tour of the Bible, the Complete Word of God Abridged, are now on sale. Performances resume January 20th, 2009, and I know the performance at the Northcutt Theater in Exeter is already sold out. So go to reduceshakespeare.com for more information about specific venues and dates. And now, back to our very special interview with Charles Dickens himself. Adam Long conducted this interview several years ago under controlled laboratory circumstances for our Public Radio International holiday special, The Reduced Shakespeare Company Christmas, which, as it happens, is available for sale at our website, reduceshakespeare.com, just in time for the holidays. In the spirit of the holiday, just click the Buy Stuff menu. Mr. Dickens?
Christmas.
Yes, well, what can I say that hasn't been said already? Christian holiday coinciding with the pagan celebration of winter solstice, observed with religious ritual, prayer, song, and the exchange of gift vouchers. Marvelous.
And you wrote Christmas Carol about Christmas, didn't you?
My boy, you have a keen grasp of the obvious.
Thank you.
You know, in my early drafts, Christmas Carol was a rollicking comedy. Yes, and there was only one ghost and three misers.
Three misers? What were they named?
Ebenezer, Moe, and Curly. I called them the Three Scrooges. Oh, dear boy, you wouldn't happen to have a spot of detergent?
Oh, sure, liquid or powder?
Powder.
Well, Mr. Dickens, I just happen to have a delicious box of unscented detergent powder right here, and I'd be happy to give it to you as soon as you tell me everything you know about the spirit of Ebenezer Scrooge.
Well, that's nothing but an old wives' tale.
No spirit of Scrooge, no detergent powder.
Damn and blast! Very well. The spirit of Ebenezer Scrooge dwells at number 13 Hyde Park Corner. And on Christmas Eve, this very selfsame night, when carolers sing and the clock strikes 12, his apparition shall again appear.
I thank you, Mr. Dickens. And as I am a man of honor, here is your precious washing powder.
Ah, come to Daddy! Get undressed, ye merry gentlemen, let everything display. Remember, whips and chains are extras for which you must pay.
Well, it looks like Charles Dickens has lost his mind.
That's it for this week's Radu Shakespeare Company podcast. If you have a holiday message you want to share, send us an email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or leave us a message on our MySpace page at myspace.com/reducedshakespeare. You can also find us at facebook.com, and you can leave us a voice message using the microphone on your computer just by clicking the RSC voicemail button on our podcast page. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, ghost of Christmas holiday shopping bargains Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Robert Chambers. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Kirsten Brandt from San Jose Repertory Theater, and thanks to all of you for listening. I'll leave you with an excerpt from All the Great Books Abridged. It's our soap opera condensation of An Oliver Twist Miss Carol. I'm Austin Titchener, 107 321st. See how I did that? Of the Radu Shakespeare Company.
Please, sir, may I have some more?
Bah! Humbug!
Well, then may I leave early, sir. It's Christmas Eve.
I suppose you want Christmas Day off as well.
If it's convenient.
It is not convenient.
If you do not give me the time off, I'll be forced to reveal your dark secret to all of Port Charles.
Which dark secret?
That you and Jacob Marley were more than just business partners.
This podcast is a production of the Radu Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.